It's Wendy Snyder in for Lisa Dent this afternoon on 720 WGN. And water sports are happening. It's time people go swimming. They go boating. There are a couple of drownings already here in Chicago. We need to find out about how to be safe in the water. And joining us now is Dave Benjamin, the executive director of the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. It's a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and it's all about saving lives. How are you, Dave?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for having me on the show today.
Absolutely. I did misspeak and say you were from the Chicago Fire Department. You are not. But crews were looking for people. Someone asked the question in the Evanston accident how far out the people were. And there was one woman who swam about 2 miles back to shore and reported that her friend was missing. Another guy drowned near the playpen. I just feel like don't we have to be afraid of the water?
We need to be educated about the water is the
good
best
one.
Way to describe
yeah.
it. Because the fear factor never works, and sometimes it encourages, you know, male behavior to test the limits. But what we see with the work that we've been doing is a large population of the country even say that they know how to swim, and then they have zero water safety education, and then they associate knowing how to swim as water safety. So knowing how to swim is knowing how to swim. We equate it like this. Knowing how to run doesn't mean you can run a marathon. Knowing how to swim doesn't mean you could survive the marathon of a drowning incident, okay, unless you have some type of personal flotation device like a life jacket, or you have a very strong ability to swim on your own accord in the water.
Okay, but don't you know if you're a strong swimmer? Like, I goof around in the pool. I lay on a raft and have a drink with an umbrella in it. I do handstands. I can tread water for a little while, but I am in no way a strong swimmer. I mean, so I would wear a life jacket when I'm on a boat.
Right. Actually, what you described is not swimming, and that's typical for people when they go to the pool or the beach. They say that they spent the whole day swimming, but for the most part, they spent the day wading. They did a cannonball in the water,
right.
They splashed their friends, they throw a frisbee. There was no swimming there. So what we have been doing in our presentations to try to wake up the audience is we should really consider a swimmer as one person going 100 yards without stopping. So can you swim the length of a football field? Because that will kind of open up their eyes to really imagine, can I really swim that far? Am I really a good swimmer? Knowing how to swim doesn't mean that you could survive a water emergency. And then even the American Red Cross backs this up with a survey and research that they did a few years ago where 80% of Americans said that they know how to swim, but when actually tested, 54% of them couldn't do the 5 basic swimming skills, and the most arduous task of that was swimming just 25 yards the length of a pool. So, again, most people go to the beach with this assumption, I know how to swim, I don't have to worry about drowning, when, in fact, depending on the annual statistics, 66% of all drowning victims actually knew how to swim.
Really?
So again, yeah. So it's almost like saying you're more likely to have a failed drowning incident if you know how to swim than if you don't know how to swim. And the reason why is people will spend more time in and around water, and they overestimate their abilities in water. And then to put this statement in some fairness, because some water safety advocates might be hearing nailed on a chalkboard, put it in the context like this. People who skydive are more likely to die by skydiving, right? People who know how to skydive. So people who know how to swim, again, are going to spend more time in around the water with no water safety education. And if an emergency happens, they don't have a survival strategy. They don't understand that panic is the first stage of drowning and how to alleviate panic or to work through a panic attack.
Now, you mentioned to be a strong swimmer, you should swim the length of a football field, 100 yards. And you also mentioned something about 5 swimming tasks. What are those to indicate that you're a pretty decent swimmer?
A decent swimmer, but the 5 basic skills for the American Red Cross is to fall in water over your head and resurface, tread water for 1 minute, spin around 360 degrees in the water to spot an exit, swim 25 yards or the length of the pool to get to an exit, and then climb out of the water without any assistance. No help from another person, not using a ladder. You're climbing out on the wall. So these are 5 very basic water skills that 80% of Americans said they knew how to swim, and 54% of them couldn't perform this.
Oh my gosh.
So now this is in a pool. So now if you go to the lake environment, there's a lot more hazards in the open water, unexpected drop-offs, cold water. You could have winds, which will create several types of dangerous currents, depending which way the wind is blowing. So the good news is all the information that we share is simple, easy-to-understand information. It's not rocket science, but it's just not widely distributed the way it should be because, you know, drowning is a public health issue. It gets treated like a recreation issue. So if we're going to treat it like a recreation issue, it's not going to get any funding for education, outreach, and research.
Dave, you know, one of the things that struck me, or has struck me in the past, is are these rules against flotation rafts at beaches. And I've been thinking, well, if you have a raft with you, that would help make you more safe. But I think yesterday maybe was an example that that's not the case, that maybe you're dependent on something that you shouldn't be. And if that goes south, you're in trouble.
Absolutely. And when you said south, that was the way the winds were blowing, south to southwest. So anything that floats can go far and fast offshore if there's an offshore wind. And that's a possible scenario. What happened yesterday is two 16-year-old teenagers went on an inflatable raft before lifeguards were on duty. They may have gotten blown a little offshore. And when they tried paddling with their hands to get back to shore, you know, they're not out there with the paddle, it may have tipped over, capsized, the girl swam back, the boy unfortunately submerged. And for me, I've been going to Lake Michigan going on 54 years now, and since I got involved with this over 13 years ago, the most rescues that I will make on my family beach days is people on inflatable rafts or inner tubes or inflatable ducks being blown out by the wind. And when I go to the beach now, I always flotation like a stand-up paddleboard with life jacket and a leash. If it's flat, if there's waves, I'm bringing surfboards. But going, there's some times where I might, you know, go out 5-6 times to guide the people back to shore, saying, do you realize you're an offshore wind? Do you realize you're now 300 yards offshore? If you fall off this, you don't have the ability to swim back, and now the water's colder out here. So I kneel down on my stand-up paddleboard, they grab the leash, and I just paddle back to shore. It's usually a very uneventful, rescue or intervention. But the thing is I know people who have been in these situations where they went out on inflatable, tipped over, and their loved one perished, and they may have survived. Or it's something, again, not rocket science, but when you go to the beach, instead of thinking about is it sunny, is it hot, think about which way is the wind blowing today? Because even today we have south winds, so we have offshore winds.
Dave, can I interrupt you for a moment? Do you have time? Yeah. Can we do some news and then we'd like to continue?
Oh, yeah.
All right. We'd love to continue talking with you. It's Dave Benjamin, Executive Director of the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. And we need to find out how to stay safe on the water, and he'll have some tips for us. It's all coming up after the news on 720 WGN. Good afternoon. It's Wendy Snyder in for Lisa Dent this week. And I have learned so much, we all have, while talking to Dave Benjamin, co-founder and executive director of the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. I'm so sorry. It's glsrp.org. And Dave, over the commercial break, I learned you had a near-death drowning incident back in 2010.
I was surfing, winter surfing in Lake Michigan, and the short story version is a bad wipeout. The leash didn't hold on my surfboard, and I got put to the bottom. And when I was trying to get back up, another wave was crashing down, pushing me back to the bottom. I inhaled a little bit of water. Realizing I didn't have my surfboard, my flotation device, I just immediately panicked. And I was struggling, fighting to get to the surface, to stay at the surface, and I'm in the impact zone. And when I finally was being held down and gave up, I have a winter wetsuit on, which is 6 millimeters thick. The boots are 7 millimeters, as well as the gloves. And when I stopped fighting, I actually just floated back up to the surface. And then, you know, I was just breathing and realizing, you know, once you start breathing, you start, you know, calming the panic down,
yeah,
and your senses get back. So what do you do when a wave is about to crash on your head? Well, you duck dive underneath it. That's what you do with your surfing. But if you're panicking, you're just getting hit in the head on a wave.
And
that's what I got. how I got started in this.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned the panic. That's what happens. On my honeymoon in Maui, a wave took me under. I was in like 2 feet of water, but you lose your bearings. You don't know which way's up. My husband laughed at me, but it was terrible panic. And that's what happens when people are drowning. A lot of times it doesn't even look like a drowning. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. So cartoons and TV shows and movies have inaccurately portrayed drowning for quite some time. That would portray it as a long traumatic event with lots of yelling and waving. And if we think that that's what drowning looks like, someone could be drowning right next to us and we wouldn't know, because you would think that they would yell for help, but they can't because they're choking or gasping for air. And if they're in water over their head, they can't raise their hand above their head, because if they do, it increases their body weight out of water and puts their mouth underwater. So a drowning person is typically facing shore or facing the closest exit out of the water, mouth at water level, head tilted back, body vertical. And they might be doing a climbing the ladder motion in the water, which you might not be able to see in murky water. So a drowning person, you might just see just their head at the surface, and there's no, you know, it doesn't look like they're drowning. So that's why you need to be able to identify what someone looks like when they're drowning. If you see someone drowning, reach something to them, throw them something that floats. We advise that people do not get in the water to try to rescue someone who's drowning, because a drowning person, again, is in the moment of panic and they could climb all over you. And if someone was going to enter the water, we would recommend that they bring something with them that floats. Because oftentimes a would-be rescuer never makes contact with a drowning victim. They just put themselves in a dangerous situation, and now they start drowning. If they have something that floats, they can use it for themselves. If they make contact with the drowning victim, keep it between you and the drowning victim so the drowning victim climbs on that and not you. And then once they get their breathing under control and they start to alleviate the panic, then you devise an exit strategy, which might be continue floating and signal for help. Or if you're, you know, which kind of current, if it's a rip current going away from shore, going parallel shore, then back to shore. But again, we have to remember that the average person's swimming ability, less than 25 yards. So telling someone to swim parallel to shore, they likely won't have the physical ability to do that. So
right.
Again, floating and then hoping someone calls rescue or lifeguards are en route.
We have to talk to you throughout the summer. You can go to glsrp.org, Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. If you can, have your kids take swim lessons. That's what I was told when I first became a parent. And Dave, very quickly here, if someone is listening and they are in a panic and perhaps they're in trouble, what is the best advice?
What we advocate is if anyone is struggling in any body of water, that they flip, float, and follow. So it's like the stop, drop, and roll of water safety. Flip over on your back and you float to keep your head above water, to calm yourself down from the panic of drowning, and to conserve your energy, and then follow a safe path out of the water. So you want to float first, exit strategy second. If you want to survive a drowning incident, you have to stay at the surface for as long as possible and continue breathing until either self-rescue or for professional rescue to arrive.
Thank you so much for all these tips. We will talk to you throughout the summer because we need to hear them. Again, glsrp.org. Dave Benjamin, co-founder and executive director of the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. Thank you so much. Have a safe summer till we speak again.
All right, thank you.
Okay, and Ryan Burrow is in for Mary Vandeveld today. Weather-wise, it's nice. Traffic-wise, what do we have?